I can speak on the behalf of the whole group that's here. We're very thankful for your wonderful hospitality and kindness that you've showed towards us. We were talking today about how, this afternoon after the service, how this has been such a joy to be here, and it's been so fun to serve in this church, and there's life in this church, and we can see it, and it's wonderful to see. You know, this whole semester we've been traveling throughout the Northwest in different places, and we've seen some pretty good-sized churches, and we've seen some really small churches, and we've seen some churches with tons of light, and we've seen churches with just a little flicker, and this church has light. And that's something I'm very grateful for. It's so much fun to be a part of and so much fun to be visiting and serving in a church that has light and has the joy of serving the Lord like you do. And I'm just very thankful to be here. We're going to start reading in 1 John chapter 4. And you can turn there. We're going to start reading in verse number 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this church, the opportunity you've given us to be here, the opportunity you've given me to speak. Lord, I pray that you would just fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Empty me of sin, empty me of myself, and fill me with your Spirit, Lord, that I may present your message today, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd give me your words to speak, nothing more and certainly nothing less, Lord. I pray that you would be honored and glorified in everything that's said and done tonight, that your message would be clearly presented. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me. Lord, I pray that you would open my heart for the Holy Spirit to work in me. Lord, I pray that you would open the hearts of each one who's listening. Help us all to receive your message and prepare us to receive what you have for us to learn today, that we would not only be hearers of the word, but doers also, Lord. Pray that we would take what we learn and apply it to our lives and to better serve you and honor and glorify you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, how many of you like a good love story? You know, we were talking one day in the van, I think it was, a group of our whole group. We have three more people that weren't able to come because they didn't have passports. And we were all kind of talking, and we all kind of like to compete a little bit and to kind of one-up each other. You know, we just have a little bit of fun rivalry. And we were talking about many different things, and randomly we started talking about our parents' love story and how our parents came to know each other, and don't you just love to hear a good love story? How high school sweethearts or somebody who just by some crazy miraculous way came to meet the one that God had for them. And I mean, it's just cool to hear. And we were all telling each other's parents, telling our own parents' love story and how they met and got engaged and different things. And we were saying, well, mine's better. My parents' engagement was better because of this and all this. But I mean, it's cool to hear it. It makes you happy to hear that, you know, somebody has this cool love story, you know? Well, tonight I want to look at the greatest love story ever.
Amen.
You know, and this isn't just a story. You know, it's not just a tale we tell. It's true. You know, it's not just a story, it's history. It's the story of Jesus Christ and our Savior's love, the greatest love story ever told. You know, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, to die a horrible, miserable, embarrassing death and suffer so that we could go to heaven simply because he loves us. If that's not the greatest love story you've ever heard, then you might want to reevaluate, because I've never heard a greater love story than that. I've never heard a love story where someone loved somebody so dearly that they sacrificed such a great sacrifice. I've never had anybody do that for me, and I've never heard of anyone else doing that other than God sending his Son, Jesus Christ. It's the greatest love story ever. And today I want to look at four things that God's love is. And I hope this will help you, be an encouragement to you. If you're not saved, I hope that you'll see this and you can receive this and experience this love. If you're not saved, you cannot experience this love. God does love you, but you can't reap the benefit of it. You can't experience the full potential of this love if you're not saved. And I hope that if you're not saved, you would listen, and that this would help you to come to know Christ as your Savior. And if you are saved, I hope that this is an encouragement to you to know that God loves you so much. But four things. The first thing is, God's love is an unlimited love. Let's turn to, you don't have to turn there. I'll turn there and read it for you. But Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. You know, God's love, it's unlimited. It reaches all people, and it's extended to everyone. He loves everybody in the whole world. Whether you've done great things or terrible things, it doesn't matter. He loves everybody. Let's read this here in Romans 5, verse number 8. I'm at the wrong page. I've got to turn one page. All right, Romans 5, verse 8, it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, we are sinners. Every single one of us was born a sinner. The Bible says, by one man, sin entered into the world. And because of that, every one of us is born a sinner. We've sinned against God. We have broken God's law, but that does not stop this. God's love is an unlimited love. There's no limit to it. There's nothing that can limit it. There is no way that his love can run out. You've never done anything too bad for him to love you. And he's got enough love for every single person in the world. No matter how good, no matter how bad, he loves us all just the same. And he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us because he loves us. "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In our state of sin, when we had rejected him, we have broken his law and turned against him and sinned against him, he still loves us. It is amazing. It's uncomprehendable. Though we are sinners, Christ loved us, and he died for us. There's no limit of who can experience God's love. There's no way that God's love could ever run out. Jesus Christ came to the earth. He was spit upon. He was hit in the face. His beard was ripped out. He was beaten, ripped to shreds. He had a crown of thorns made and put on his head, and driven into his head by being hit with a rod deep into his skull. He was hung on a cross, one of the most shameful deaths imaginable. And he hung there and he suffered, struggling to breathe. He went through all of that because he loves us. He took every stripe with that whip, every hit in the face, every hair that was pulled out of his face, every nail pierced through him. He took all of that because he loves us. That's the greatest love story I've ever heard. It was those very same people who did this to him that he loved so much that he died for. You know, the man who drove the nail into his hand, the man who swung the whip, the man who punched him in the face. Every one of those men, Jesus died for because he loved them. I was that man. You were that man. We were not there physically, but it was my sin that hung him on that cross. It was because of my sin that he took every one of those stripes. It was because of all of our sin that he did this. And he still loves us. So God's love is an unlimited love. It'll never run out. It's always enough. There's love for every single person in the world. Secondly, God's love is an undeserved love. If you're in Romans still, flip probably one page to Romans chapter 6, verse number 23. I'm sure most of you are familiar with this verse. You probably could even quote it. Let's read it together. Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages of sin is death. We've all sinned, haven't we? Because we've all sinned, we deserve death. We don't deserve Christ's love. We've sinned against God. We don't deserve his love. But still, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? The love of Jesus Christ. Though we were sinners, though we sinned against him, we deserved death. He still loved us. He said, "I love you so much, I'll send my son to die on a cross for you." We deserved, the only thing we ever deserved, we could ever deserve, is the things that come from our works and our sins. We don't deserve any love from Christ. We deserve the things that the only things we've earned and deserved are death, and we deserve to be hated, despised, rejected by Christ, by God, but we don't have to be, because Jesus Christ, he was hated, he was despised, rejected, and he paid the price of death for us. The wages of sin is death. We don't have to suffer that death because Jesus Christ suffered it for us. He loved us enough that he said, "I don't want you to have to die. I will die for you." Jesus came and he took our place because he loved us so much. He didn't want us to have to suffer. He didn't want us to have to go through the things. And he came and he went through them for us because he loved us. 1 John 4:10, where we were reading from, it says, let me find it. It says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." His love is not a reward. We're not rewarded for our good doings and the way that we've lived. We're not rewarded but with his love. We've never earned it. We could never deserve it. God's love is not a reward, but rather a redemption. Jesus Christ, he loves us, and because he loves us, he's redeeming us. He came to die for us to redeem us, not to reward us. It was not a reward for anything that we've ever done. It was to redeem us from what we've done, from our sins. Our sin was the purpose for his death, and his death was the payment for our sins. You know, we are the reason that he had to die. We're the reason that he chose to die, because he loved us. And he is the reason that we don't have to die. Now, he loved us so much, and we are so undeserving. Thirdly, we see it's that God's love is unrestrained love. It is complete and total sacrifice. Let's look at John chapter 3 and verse number 16. Another very familiar verse, I would assume. John 3:16, and we'll also read verse number 17 here. Verse number 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You know, Jesus Christ had every right to, as it says in verse 17, to come to condemn us. He had every right to. We've sinned against him. But he didn't come for that. He didn't come for that reason. He didn't come to condemn us. He came so that we could be saved. He came because he loved us so much, because God loved us so much and sent him to die for us. You know, God's love was unrestrained when he gave his only Son to die for us. Christ's love was unrestrained when he gave his own life for our sins. As I said, Christ had every reason to condemn us, to come to this earth to punish us for the sins that we've committed, to condemn us of our sins, but he didn't. He came to save us from our sins. Unrestrained love. He loved us so much that nothing could hold him back. He went all out. He gave his all. He was unrestrained in his love. Complete in total sacrifice. He gave his life. God gave his only Son. Pastor Turner, you have one son. Could you imagine if I came to you and I said, "Pastor Turner, I've done something terrible, and I've gone to court and I've been sentenced to death. And I don't want to have to die. And can you help me?" And you said, "Sure, I'll send my son and he'll die for you. He'll take that death penalty." Could you imagine that? There is no way that he would ever do that. Pastor Turner is an amazing man. I've loved getting to know him, and just an incredible man. And I still would never expect him to ever even think about doing anything like that. We would think, that's absurd. No one would ever do that. But God did. Because God loved us so much. He loves us so much that his love is unrestrained. Nothing could hold it back. He gave everything. He gave his only Son. Christ gave his own life because he loved us so much. Total sacrifice. Complete and total sacrifice. Number four, God's love is an uncompared love. There is nothing else like it. It is the greatest love story. It is the greatest love that any man could ever experience. Let's read John 15, verse 13. John 15:13. It says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus Christ came to the earth. He left behind his throne in heaven, the most comfortable place you could ever be, the greatest place ever. He left it. And he didn't only give up his place in heaven for a time, he gave his life. And the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus Christ loves us so much. He considered us a friend. Though we were not a friend to him, he considered us a friend. And he laid down his life for us so that we wouldn't have to suffer the way that he did. So that we wouldn't have to die and go to a place called hell. He laid down his life because he loved us so much. He wanted us to be able to spend eternity with him. It's uncompared. As I said, Pastor Turner would never give up his son. I doubt he'd ever give up his own life for me either. I know I wouldn't. I mean, I have several friends, several very, very close friends that I would do a lot for. I would bend over backwards for some people, but I don't know if I'd be able to give my life for them. I really love them, but I don't know if I love them that much. But Jesus Christ did. He does. He loves us so much. He came and died for us, knowing that we would turn against him and that we would be born sinning against him, and he still loved us. Knowing every bad thing we would ever do, every time we would turn against him and forget him and take his glory for ourselves, he still loved us so much that he died for us. God loved us so much that he sent his only son to be born in a stable, a lowly stable, to be born in a place where animals live with the filth. Does anybody here have a farm, or has anybody ever been on a farm? Raise your hand if you have. You know, we have, at the Passage, we've got not a farm, but we have a barn, and we've got a few animals. We've got, a goat and a baby goat, a kid. Then we've got two sheep that are terribly stupid, and we've got a horse. And is that it? And a bunch of chickens that are also stupid. They're very fun to scare, though. But we've had to go in and clean up after them, take care of them. You know, it's terrible. It stinks. It's filthy. I don't want to be in there any longer than I have to. Sometimes I've had to go in and get the eggs from the chickens. And I was told that if I'm not careful, that I might get pecked. And I haven't been pecked yet, but I'm hoping I never do, because we may be eating chicken. But it stinks. It's gross. It's filthy. I don't want to be in there any longer than I have to. And it would be a terrible place to have to live. And Jesus Christ was born in that kind of a place. He was brought into this earth. He was welcomed by that, by the stink and filth and all this from the barn, from a stable. He was placed in a manger. You know, God loved us so much, he allowed his son to be in such a low place. You know, God deserves all the honor, all the glory. He deserves the best palace that man could ever offer, and even greater than that. But he loved us so much that he said, I'll send my son, and you're going to reject him. There's not going to be any room for him. Nobody's really going to want him when he comes. And I'll make the sacrifice, and he'll be born in a stable. He'll live his first few days with animals in filth. No, he let his son come and be born in that, and to grow up to be hated by men, to be despised, to be rejected, to be betrayed by one of his closest friends, most trusted companions, to be forsaken by the rest of his friends. God allowed his son to be beaten, spit upon, to be hung on a cross and suffer the most humiliating, embarrassing deaths of that time, probably of all time. And he was mocked. He was laughed at. And while he was taking his last breaths even, he was made fun of and mocked and still rejected. Though he was dying for those people, they still rejected him. And God said, I will send my son. Though you will do this to him, I will send him so that he'll die to pay for your sins. Because he loves us. That is undoubtedly the greatest love story ever. There can never be a greater story. You know, there never will be, there never has been. Nobody has ever loved me that much. Nobody has ever loved you that much. And no one ever will, other than God. And if you don't know Christ's love, if you have not accepted his gift of salvation, don't put that off. He paid a debt that you could never pay. A debt that he never owed. Because he loves you so much. If a friend were to give their life for you, your closest friend came and pushed you out of the way of a car and his life was taken because he was saving you, wouldn't you want to do everything you could to honor that person and to repay them in any way you could to honor their memory and their family? Wouldn't you want to do everything you possibly could to repay them for what they did for you? Jesus Christ has given his life for you. He died on a cross to pay for your sins so that you would not have to suffer an eternity in hell. All you have to do is accept a free gift of salvation. That's it. Simple as that. One and done. It's the easiest thing you could ever do, and yet so many people won't. You know, after knowing all Christ has done for you, how could you not accept him as your Savior? How could you not serve him and dedicate your life to him? You know, I want to love the others the way that Jesus Christ loves me. Don't you? Don't you want to love other people this way? We ought to be an example of Jesus Christ. We ought to be, the word Christian means that we are like Christ. We ought to be like him in everything we do. We ought to love other people the way that God loves us. You know, if we read farther down in 1 John number 4, it says, in verse 19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. Because he loves us, we should love him. Because we love him, we ought to love others. You know, the two greatest commandments are to love God and to love your neighbors as yourselves. You know, if we love God, we have to love others. Let's read verse number 20. It says, if any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. If we love God, we have to love others. It's not because we love God we should love others. It's because if we actually love God, we must love others. You cannot love God without loving others. It says, how can you love a God you've never seen if you can't love your brother whom you have seen? You know, I want to love others like God loved me. You know, I don't know if I would be able to give my life for someone, but I want to give my life to God that I may be used for him, and I want to love others the way that the way that he loved me. You know, the Bible says if we love God, we must love others. If we love God, if we love others, we must show them God's love. And we must tell them about God's love. You know, God loved you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. And if you've accepted that gift and you are a child of his, you are saved, you ought to love him. And in loving him, you ought to love others. And in loving others, you ought to tell them about God's love. How could you say that I love, how could you say you love somebody if you have not told them about Jesus' love? If you've not shared Christ's love with them? How could you say you love somebody if you are about to let them die and spend their eternity in a place called hell, suffering? How can you do it? You know, we ought not only love our brother, those who are close to us, our friends and our companions. We ought to love the whole world. We ought to love everybody. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If we love God, we ought to love others. If we love others, we ought to tell them about God's love. And, you know, if we truly love others, that means all others. Not just those we like, those we're close to. You ought to love all men. And if you love them, you ought to show them God's love. And you ought to tell them about God's love. You know, how do you show Christ's love? Well, you treat others the way that they ought to be treated. You know, because Jesus Christ died for that person, because he loved that person so much, it doesn't matter if I like that person or not. I ought to love them because God loves them. God values that person. I ought to value them. And I ought not sit by and let them live a life without Christ on their way to hell. I ought not do that if I truly love God and if I truly love that person. You know, you don't have to like a person, but you have to love them. God doesn't say you have to like every person. He says love them. You know, if somebody does something to me and I'm hurt by them, I might not like them. But I ought to love them because that's God's commandment to me. You know, and I ought, even if they've wronged me, I ought to still show them God's love. I ought to still love that person. So that is how you show somebody God's love. You exhibit God's love to them. And then, if you are showing them God's love, this should come naturally. You ought to tell them about God's love. You ought to tell them the story that I've just told you. How God loved each and every one of us so much. He sent his only begotten son to die on a cross, to give his life so that we could be saved. If we love God, we must love others. If we love others, we must show them God's love. We must tell them about God's love. We cannot let them live a life without Christ on their way to hell. If you see somebody who you're not sure if they're saved or not, or you know they're not saved, don't pass them by. Don't let them go by you without making sure that they know what Christ has done for them. Yesterday, we were in a large part of the city. I don't know if it's the largest part of the city or not, but we were by the SkyTrain, and there were so many people, so many lost people on their way to hell. So many people who we tried to reach, and we put the gospel in many of their hands. I believe we passed out about 400 tracts, maybe something like that. And that doesn't even cut a fraction of how many people walked by me in 1 hour. That 400 that we passed out isn't even a fraction of the amount of people who willingly rejected it, who don't know Christ's love. And if that doesn't make your heart heavy, your heart's not right with God. There were so many people that walked by me, rejected the gospel I was trying to give them, and may have walked not much farther and gone to hell. You know, somebody may have not lived the rest of that day. Somebody that walked right by me may not have gotten saved and may have died that day. I don't know. And it's just heavy on my heart. You know, even the ones that we did reach, the ones that we did put gospel in their hand, they were zipping by. They were going so fast. We didn't get a chance to just stand there and talk to them and really give them the gospel. We had to just trust that if we got that gospel in their hand, that the Lord would lead them to read it and that the Holy Spirit would guide them and help them to come to know Christ as their Savior, to seek help in that. But I'm sure many of those people, even after they saw it and realized what it was, threw it away or got rid of it. You know, we ought not let people just walk by us day to day without making sure they at least have a chance to know that God loves them and what God has done for them because they love them. You know, your pastor is an amazing example of this. You know, we've gone out to eat a few times, and you ought to be very thankful to have such a great man as your pastor. Because I watched as Brother Turner, every person that he talked to in the restaurants and different things, he always had something to give them. He pulled out this card out of his pocket. I've not seen him at all since we've got here. I haven't seen him a time where he doesn't have at least a couple cards in his pocket. And everybody he's talked to, he's pulled out this track and he said, "I have something I want to give you." You know, there is hope in this world, and I want to share this with you. That's such a great thing to put on that track. There is hope. You know, in a world where people don't know that, they think that there's not, they can see that where there is. And we ought to take these tracks. They're beautiful tracks. They're very eye-catching. And, you know, for these people who are lost and searching, they want hope. And if they see "there is hope" real big on it, a lot of people saw it. And when I was trying to hand them to them at the SkyTrain, and they said, "Oh, well, I sure hope that there is. I'm not sure that there really is." And they'd take it, and I could watch as they kind of started looking at it to see, what is hope? How do we have hope? You know, there's so many people lost. What are we doing to show them God's love? Do you love God? God loves you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for you, to pay for your sins. Do you love Him? Do you love others the way that God loves you? Do you show them God's love? And do you tell them about God's love? I must admit that from what I've just shared with you, from seeing Brother Turner and the way that he shares the gospel with people and hands them tracts very often, I've been convicted. I myself have not been actively showing Christ's love and telling others about God's love the way I should. I don't think anybody honestly can say that they have taken every single opportunity they've had to share God's love with them. You know, we ought not let a day go by where we have not shared God's love with somebody else. If we truly love God, we must love others. And if we truly love others, we must show them God's love and tell them about God's love. May the Lord help us to do this. May the Lord help us to love God the way we ought to, and love others the way we ought to, and share God's love with them. Lord, help us with this.